Hello, and welcome to Local Listens, available weekly on Spotify, Pocket Casts, Anchor, and our YouTube channel. This week's episode, we have Franklin Festi of bands like Republicans on Welfare, Viveca, and more. We talk about how he got started with certain instruments and what his father taught him about music. We talk about the tour that got him from Wisconsin to Washington and the differences between the Wisconsin and Washington scenes. Other bands are mentioned throughout the episode, and you can find links to them in the episode description.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to this week's episode of Local Listens, episode number 19. I am Bailey of Bailey Ukulele.
And I'm Shane of Sanatorium Hill, and this week we have...
Franklin Festi, the third.
The third. Yep.
Wow.
That's right. Three generations of this bullshit.
Well, is that two generations of being in punk bands, though?
Yeah, my father was in a band. He was in a couple bands. His last band was Pissed Officer, which he fronted, local band from Wisconsin, Kenosha, Wisconsin. And he was in also other bands, like this band called Bitch Slap, and Birth Defects was his first one.
All
right.
So
that's cool.
Yeah. He taught me how to play guitar at like age 12 or whatever.
Nice.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, I got to see Pissed Officer once at Punks in the Pier in like, 2011, 2012, something like that.
Oh, cool. So, yeah, that was probably a good year.
Yeah,
that's cool.
Yeah, my grandpa's he's just a party animal. So,
so it runs in the family though.
Yeah, it does. I blame them for my.
There you go.
My alcoholism. No, no, it's my own damn fault. But you know, it helps. At least we have fun. You know?
Yeah.
There you go.
So, how many bands are you actually in? Because I know Republicans on Welfare from back in Kenosha, you're in Viveca, and also a handful of others.
Yeah, well, this kind of like in and out, a lot of side projects or throughout the years, you know, kind of just, I've been in my buddy Mike Warren, he's like a bird biologist, and he shreds the banjo, and he's, you know, he's been hitchhiking all over country. He used to live in Olympia for 11 years, and he kind of like goes around busking and doing bird research jobs. And we had a little project called Humbug, and he just one day he was like, hey, you want to do some recordings? And I was like, oh, fuck yeah, dude. Like, so we did like a little project. There's a recording on YouTube. It's like Humbug is the band, and then the album is called Ruts. So, like, you know, here and there, like, there's, like, side projects and other things. Also, I was in the Roadkill Revival, which it's not anymore, but I still jam with Kelsey Crow and Dan Baker here and there once in a while, just for the hell of it.
Hell yeah.
But other than that, yeah, there's, when I go back to town, sometimes we kind of, like, get old members of my dad's old band, Pissed Officer. And we'll play some, make a, like a tribute set, play that. And so that's kind of like a band, you know, just to do it for like special events and, you know. So there's a bunch of stuff kind of like that.
Jeez.
Yeah.
That's too many bands for me, man. I have fun.
Yeah, that's one advice my dad gave me. It was always, you know, if you stick with one band, then you could focus and get farther with the one band. But right. I didn't take his advice. But I'm a little bit of a slut. So.
And you don't just play guitar in some of these bands, because you play drums and like trumpet as well, right?
Yeah. Well, the funny thing about the drums is, when I was 16, I got a DUI, and my parents grounded me. And when I went to my dad's house, it was like, oh, well, you got to come to band practice, or, you know, he had a drum set in his basement, so I had a lot of time to beat the shit out of some skins. I can keep a really lame punk beat, maybe like a slow, like a Ramones punk beat.
Ah, gotcha.
All right.
But my first instrument I ever picked up was a trumpet, in like fifth grade. I played all throughout middle school, a couple years in high school, but at my high school, I was playing guitar and hanging out and partying more so than focusing on school. So.
Oh,
there you go.
Living
so
the best
I could play it, yeah, right? Yeah, making the most of it. but yeah, I could play trumpet, okay, but like that's something you kind of have to be conditioned for, like your lips, your embouchure. It's like one song, and my lips are just kaput. So
yeah,
but yeah. Gotcha. But other than that, main instruments would be guitar and bass, which I don't really have too much of a preference. But bass is a lot more chill. You know, you kind of just hold down the fort, keep the rhythm, and you can be a little bit drunk, get away with getting a little more drunk on stage.
All right.
I hear that shit.
Makes it fun.
There you go.
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
So what project, are there any projects that you currently play bass in?
Vivek is the main one I play bass in. Okay. So, and that's kind of like a crust punk, they call it Black and Crust, or I don't know, it's like crust punk band from Olympia. And it's a four piece, and then my band from Kenosha, Wisconsin, Republicans and Welfare, I play bass, and then me, like, we kind of like do like musical chairs or Chinese fire drill, or I don't know, we kind of like switch instruments, and I'll switch from guitar to bass, because originally how it happened is because my guitar amp stopped working. Because it used to be two guitars and then the bass player sang, and we all just traded microphones. But yep, I didn't have a guitar amp, so I just switched the bass. And then when the other person was singing, we kind of just switched the bass to guitar. So which is kind of nice. It breaks up the set. You kind of get different styles and stuff like that. So yeah, it's a lot of fun.
Nice.
But
I wish I knew how to play the bass.
It's cool. It's like I feel like it's more conditioning. Like just the thicker strings, and you also have to be it's kind of a humbling instrument too. Like if you're more of like the showboater, then obviously guitar, you know.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
The bass is, you know, it's the meat and potatoes.
So. Oh yeah,
this is true. I swear, like every music post I see on the internet is like looking for a bass player, looking for a drummer, like. Everyone's looking for a rhythm section all the time. So
right,
you're a
everyone
bass player.
Everyone wants to shred do the Eddie Van Halen guitar thing, which is cool.
Right.
But sometimes we'll lay back and do some jazz bass and
there you go.
You know, smoke a joint or whatever you do.
Yeah, there you go.
And
yeah,
you mentioned you started playing when you were 12?
Yeah, I started playing trumpet around like 11 in elementary school. Which is cool because they used to take me out of class to do trumpet lessons. So I was like, hell yeah, I'll get the fuck out of here. And then around, I always wanted to play drums when I was a kid, but my dad always had an acoustic guitar laying around. And so he just taught me the basics, kind of how to teach myself. So I kind of went through that. And then probably like around like 14-ish is when I... Like, there was one time my dad's practice, piss officer practice, the bass player didn't show up. So he's like, hey, Frank, you want to come learn some songs? And so I was like, all right, cool. So he like taught me some piss officer songs. I played bass. I ended up picking it up pretty quick. So since then, I started doing bass, which was pretty cool. And my dad ended up buying me a bass at 14. He's like, if you get a B in this class, you know, I'll buy you a bass. And it's the same bass I got still today. It's like a Fender Precision, but it's a Japanese model. It's been beat up, but it still plays.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, I recommend the Precision bass.
I still have my first bass that I got when I was like 7 or 8, and I suck at bass. My old bass teacher, like, he didn't really teach me how to play. He would just be like, oh, so what song do you want to learn? And then I'd tell him a song,
right.
And then he'd, like, write down the tabs for it and give them to me.
He's like, good luck, kid.
Yeah.
Yeah, pretty much.
Like,
wow, that's funny.
I didn't know what scales were until, like, the fucking choir teacher brought it up in, like, middle school or some shit.
Oh, really? Just,
yeah.
You're like, oh,
figure
yeah,
figure
roll.
Yeah, just like,
yeah.
Oh, so So I have a bass.
Do-re-mi.
I can still play the trooper on it.
There you go.
Oh, well,
But
that's pretty good riff.
yeah.
I like that one.
But yeah, actually syncing what I'm playing on a bass to like somebody playing the guitar, I'm like, I don't know fucking scales on this thing. Like,
Yeah, and that's one of the things my dad taught me. It was like he taught me the major scale, the minor scale, and then there's the blues scale. And between those three scales, you just, whatever the note or chord the rhythm starts, you can basically use any of those scales to kind of any of those notes on the scale sound good within the rhythm. So you can do a run or a fill.
hell yeah.
Yeah, and you can just wherever it is, play that fucking scale and rip it
I
up.
know.
That's awesome. That's
Yeah.
cool.
Yeah, I've taken a couple lessons, like two guitar lessons, and I learned a shit ton in those two lessons. Like, I learned how to figure out whatever note is on the fretboard, like the pattern. It's like whole step, half step, whole step, whole step, half step. So like anywhere on the fretboard, you can be like, oh, that's that note, and then that was one lesson. And the other paid lesson I had was something called the cage theory, which is all the chords, the main chords you do on acoustic guitar. That's in those. It's like the three first frets. You got the G chord, the C chord, the D chord, the A chord, and the E chord. All those chords are a shape. So to figure out, like, say an E, not an E sharp, but an F. Or a G, you just go up the scale, and that suspended note, you just kind of bar it, or you can figure out the five different chord shapes up the fretboard. So the D shape, the E shape, and you just go all the way up, and then add a note instead of the suspended note. You like bar it up and or press it down on the fret
Yeah.
that you go up. I
Huh.
don't know. Yeah, then that was
Dang.
another lesson I took. But yeah, that just revolutionized my playing completely. So
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
'cause I do recommend getting lessons. It's you can never you can out you always can figure out something new.
Right, you can
Just
always learn more.
yeah, right. That's what's cool about music.
Yeah, once you like plateau or whatever, it's just like, hey, somebody else teaches you something new and you're like, what the fuck?
Right. Oh shit.
Real though.
I didn't know if I
Wait, you
just
can
played
do
that
that?
shape upside down, it sounded better.
Real. So, like, because you were talking about how you've been playing guitar and bass for a really long time. Do you have any, like, people you look up to that play guitar and bass that, like, are maybe an influence or that kind of inspire you to play your music?
I would say I have more bass references. Well, there's a couple, but I. Cliff Burton, the first bassist of Metallica, definitely idolized him. He does the pulling teeth anesthesia bass solo or whatever on Kill 'Em All, and that was always kind of cool. And then I guess the next one would be Iron Maiden's bass player Steve Harris, which
Nice.
he rips it up. Other than that, I guess Matt Freeman and Rancid is a super good bass player.
Yeah.
It's pretty cool.
Can't go wrong with Rancid.
Right, yeah, I know they're a little poppy and people are mad at him about it, but I don't know. The bass player fucking rips it. Who cares?
Yeah.
He knows. It's real.
It's fucking music. If you enjoy it, you enjoy it.
Right? Exactly.
I will gladly blast gangster rap on the way to a punk show.
Yep.
Yeah, get a variety
I fully
going.
agree.
For sure.
So, like, with them being kind of like influences and everything, what would you say some of your like favorite bands are?
I don't know. I kind of go through different waves, I guess. Trying to think what my favorite band now. Iron Maiden's definitely one of my favorite bands. Dead Moon. I got two Dead Moon CDs stuck in my car, and I listen to them every day, and still not sick of it. I kind of get stuck on like one CD or two. It's just good ones, but yeah, Dead Moon's super good. Iron Maiden, can't go wrong. I seen them play Iron Maiden play at the Tacoma Dome, and that was super cool, super theatric, and the pretty cool venue too. It was my first time at
Working
Tacoma
that
Dome.
show, now that I think about it.
Really?
Yeah, I think
Oh
I was doing
man.
security or some shit.
Well, didn't like some kid get beat up or something like that?
Yeah, that was crazy. I heard that on the walkie. Somebody was like, we have someone who's being a disturbance in this area and we need you to come immediately. And so all these people showed up and I guess they like took out some kid. Yeah, it was nuts.
That's wild.
Yeah. And Bruce Dickinson, the singer, Fireman, he like stopped and he's like, what they did was wrong. And we're going to play this next song. And it's called Evil That Men Do. Like,
I remember that shit.
Fucking legend, dude. It's awesome.
Yeah.
But I guess favorite Washington local band would be definitely Generation Decline. They definitely.
Fuck yeah.
They kill it super hard.
Always. Cool.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have anything like you're currently working on?
I don't know. Right now I'm kind of like, I haven't been really doing too much creatively. I'm more of like a, like here you play something and I'll like play a solo to it. Which kind of, I'm more of like the instrumentalist than like writing and like songs and stuff.
All right.
But, you know, I just like to be the guy that's like, all right, Frank, fucking hit it or do a solo.
Right.
Like, oh, yeah, I like
here. You
guy.
Play this, and I'll jam out to it for a while.
Right. Yeah, I don't know what to sing. Yeah. Play this.
It's like right. The posts of Gray's birthday party when it's just like Frank will play anywhere.
Oh yeah, there's that. The chair was on. They put the chair on the bonfire, and I sit up there and played a little bit.
Oh, it was.
Yeah.
It was on the bonfire.
Yeah, they put they had a bunch of chairs, old wooden chairs, that were burning. And then I put the chair on top of the bonfire, and then I stood up there, and I went to Dan Baker. I was like, ah, play an A chord, and then a G, and a C, and I just did a little solo while the chair was burning.
That's awesome.
That was awesome.
Yeah, it was a good time.
Nice.
Apparently, I played all night, but I don't really remember most of it. But from what I hear, it was a good time.
Usually how shows go.
Yeah. Oh, yes.
Yeah.
It was one of those good times.
What is it? I saw a quote the other day. It said, the good times are the ones you can't remember. Sounds about right.
That kind of goes along with, like, if you remember Woodstock, you weren't there.
Right, yeah.
So, with the bands that you have played in, have any of them, like, gone on any tours or anything? Because I know, like, I know Viveca plays a lot of just like local shows. I don't know if they've gone on tours since you've been a part of them.
Yeah, we I've only been a member for like a year or two, so I'm not really sure what their history is too much, but we pretty much like just Washington shows. I played Seattle at the High. It was like a house show. It was really rad. And then the next day we played Centralia, Chehalis at McFlyers, which I highly recommend going there. Even if there isn't a show, they have really good food and they're super cool. Like there's like a punk guy owns the bar. So if you're ever driving to Chehalis, I would definitely stop there.
Yeah. McFlyers, write them down.
Yeah. But I've only been on like maybe one tour. I want to definitely tour more. But when I was in Kenosha, my band Republicans Welfare, one of the members, my buddy Tim King, he was moving out to Oakland to like live with his girlfriend, and I had the idea. I was like, oh well, we'll just tour you out there, and it'll pay for your gas. So we ended up setting up a little tour to get him out there, which we stopped in Omaha, Nebraska, played with this band called the Scabby Ghouls, which was really cool. And then we stopped in Denver and played, oh, I forgot, I think it was Bar Bar. And then we shot straight over to California, and we hit up the Pirate Punks in a couple areas in the Cali areas, and they were really super hospitable and set us. They don't even know who we were, but they still set up shows and got us gas money. And we played in Oroville, Cali, Petaluma. We played, which was cool. That there's this place called the Phoenix Theater. I think it was like pretty cool, big theater. They had like a half pipe in the theater. In the back room, had like Bradley from Sublime. He's like, that's like the last place he ever played. So there's like kind of like spray paint murals. So that was cool. And then we went down to San Bernardino, and there was a house show, and they let us stay there.
That's awesome.
Yeah, but then I just didn't go home, and half the band flew back, and Tim stayed in Oakland, and me and my girlfriend Justine went up to Washington, and it's been a nice place ever since.
There you go.
So that's how you got out here.
Ha-ha!
Yeah.
Right on.
I went on tour and never went back.
Fuck yeah. Sounds like a pretty successful tour then.
Yeah, it worked out, I guess.
The funny thing is that, like, the story that I remember that Shane always says, and I always laugh about it, is when you were telling me, Shane, that you saw Frank in the bomb shelter, and you were just like, what are you doing here?
Like, yeah.
You were just so confused. Why is Frank here?
Yeah, like...
No one else...
Because I used to go see Republicans on Welfare back in Wisconsin. And then, like,
right,
I move out here, and Joy books us as, like, at the bomb shelter, and Roadkill Revival was playing. And I was like, oh, okay, like, we've never played with these guys before. And I get there, and, like, one of the first things I see is, like, this person walking around with the fucking Kenosha Corps patch on the back. And I'm like, hell no. What are you doing here?
Wait a minute, I know you.
We're like 3,000 miles away. How are we both here? Yeah, and then fucking
that's hilarious.
Tim was there too, and I was just like, what? Why? Why is this a thing? And then we talked about like Denoma for like 20 minutes.
There you go.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, Washington's a good place for Wisconsinites. Apparently.
Yeah.
All the Wisconsin people migrate to Washington eventually.
Yeah, it's still really north, you know? Just like, winters aren't as harsh. It's good scenery. It's not flat, you know?
Yeah, I'll take a couple months of rain over, like, 8 feet of snow overnight any day.
Snow and then 50 below.
And people still walking around in shorts like, oh, no, it's not that bad.
Yeah, they're pretty weathered folks over there.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
When you have to explain to people that, like, school didn't close in, like, high school unless the weather was, like, 10 below. And people are like, oh, well, that's ridiculous. I'm like, yeah, you tell me that now. I fucking lived this shit.
Right. I was there, bitch.
So, how would you compare, like, the local scene out here to the local scene back in Kenosha?
Honestly, like, they both have really... really good community roots, and I'm a fan. I've met some really amazing people out here, and there's also a lot of amazing people back in Kenosha. But one thing I would say is out in Washington, it seems like there's a little bit more of a all-age scene, which is pretty cool. And Kenosha used to have a pretty big all-age scene, you know, back when I was a kid. And there's, like, fucking kids everywhere. But, yeah, not as many all-age venues. Like, out in Washington, you got the Charleston, which, you know, they got a badass scene out there. And then you got the bomb shelter in Tacoma. And I think that really helps out with the scene, having, you know, kids coming in and being able to express themselves and all that.
Oh, hell yeah.
Right.
So it's more of a bar scene out there right now, but, I mean, eventually, you know, maybe it'll pop back up or someone will start a all-age venue.
Oh,
but,
yeah,
it's pretty good. Like, where I was from, Kenosha, it's kind of a nice tour spot because it's in between Milwaukee and Chicago. So, like, you know, if you got, like, a date on a Tuesday or a Wednesday, Kenosha's a good spot because everyone goes out every day of the night, no matter if they're working or not, so... I've had Robber's Roost came through Kenosha, and you know it was a Monday night, and we got him about 200 bucks, and there wasn't really that many people there, but this place called the Port, they don't charge at the door, they just do it off the till, so you get like 10 people that drink a shit ton, you could still make a band a bunch of money. That's just kind of nice.
True.
Hell yeah.
There you go.
So. So awesome. Yeah, it's been pretty good, pretty fun scene out there. Every time we go out there, everyone's always having a good time. But yeah, I guess everywhere you go, you just gotta look hard enough, and you'll find the right people to hang out with and a decent scene.
Oh yeah,
fuck yeah.
So having Robert's Roost come through and like throwing a cool show, do you have any stories come to your mind of like the best shows you've ever played?
There's one really cool show I remember. I Days and Days set out like a post like, oh, where should we play next? Is before they got like, you know, super big, and I was just like Kenosha, and they fucking came out, and it was really cool because there was this tattoo shop, and basically we like rented out the basement of the tattoo shop. It's called the Ditch. Some guy was renting it, and so we got Days and Days to play, and my band Humbug. Well, it's mainly my buddy Mike Warren's band, and I kind of just showed up and played guitar. We ended up recording a bunch of music just so we could have something to put out for the show. But it was super cool, and they also enjoyed the Kenosha scene. So Days and Days came back a couple times. One time they came back with Night Gaunts, which they're from New Zealand. And they played the same venue, it was called the Ditch, the tattoo basement. So that was a pretty cool show. Trying to think, there's some good shows. I played, probably my last favorite show I played was in Seattle at this venue called The Hive with Viveca. It was pretty cool. Like everyone was, they were just super active in the pit, and the energy was booming.
Hell yeah.
That was cool.
I do love The Hive. I don't know if it's actually a venue anymore. I remember somebody that lives there posting something about, like, I think during a show they had there, like, money got stolen, and they're like, we're gonna stop doing shows if this keeps happening. So I don't know if they're still doing shows or not. But The Hive is a fucking awesome venue, because you go in and you're like, all right, this is just a house, and then you go into that basement and it's just unfinished fucking just concrete walls and floors, and you're like, yeah, we're gonna tear this place apart, let's do it.
Yeah, you don't
feel bad being rowdy.
Yeah,
it's pretty right. Cool.
There's like people puking on the stairs and shit, and people like writing on chalk on the wall, and you're like, yeah, there's a hole in the middle of the stage, let's do this.
Yeah, that's my style.
yeah
that was fun, Shane, when you in San Antonio Hill playing at The Hive. That was a really good show. Like, I'm thoroughly surprised at how that small little basement provided, like, the best punk sound.
Yeah, we got to play there a couple times. That last time we played there was with Chad Hates George.
Ugh,
that was really fucking nice. Great. That was, like, cool. The day before they, like, sold out Numos.
Yeah. That was the pre-funk.
Yeah, we were just like, all right, cool. We're going to play this fucking basement, like, to, like, 20 people
with all of your heroes. Yeah, with like all of your heroes in one room.
Yeah, and then the next day you're playing to a sold out like fucking huge venue on the other side of town. Like, all right, yeah, cool. We'll play the smaller
that's
show.
That's badass. Yeah. I prefer to go to a basement show than any ever, because you can bring your own beer. It's a little more personable, you know. It's kind of more relaxed.
You get to, like, interact with the band, like, especially in between songs and shit, and, like, banter and all that. It's fucking...
Yeah.
Everything's more, like, intimate.
Yeah, there's a place up in Bremerton called the Quack Shack, and it's basically the same thing. You walk in, and it's, like, it's a buddy of mine. It's his house, and you're like, oh, this is a cool house. And then you walk downstairs in the basement, and there's just, like, a piece of carpeting, two speakers and a drum kit, and they're like, all right, here we go, let's set up a show.
Hell,
and like,
yeah.
They just have this like huge basement, and everyone just goes down there to mosh. It's awesome.
Nice.
The world needs more house venues. So other than music, is there any other hobbies or things that you're into?
I don't know. I like to go hiking a little bit. I mean, I don't go as often as I'd like to, but I mainly just party.
There you go.
But, yeah.
That's always a good idea.
Yeah.
You can never go wrong with parties.
You consider that a hobby? I don't know.
You know, if you do it frequently enough and you enjoy it enough, then I guess it's a hobby.
Right. There you go. Yeah, I mean, when you go, like, you know, when you're on the computers or whatever doing, like, a personality test, and one of the answers is party animal. I'd say it counts.
Okay, cool.
There you go.
Thank you, random personality quest. Quest?
Quest? No, I think quest is better. We're going on a personality quest.
Here is a song from the record Frank recorded with Humbug, entitled Ruts. Thank you so much for tuning into this week's episode of Local Listens. And next week is our 20th episode and the end of season 1 of Local Listens. So please tune in as we celebrate and talk about all the people we have met so far. We hope you tune in next time and have a great and music-filled week.
Get drunk again.